Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of my podcast, Putting in the Gutter. This is edition two. Thank you for listening to edition one, and let's keep growing with what we've been talking about and change some subjects and go from there. This week, we're going to talk about equipment and its effect on our sports that we really love, which is golf and bowling. We're also going to talk about the effects that it's had on other sports and maybe why I kind of disagree with the decision that the USGA and R&A have made that will take effect January 1 of 2028 to reduce the amount of distance that the current golf ball will travel and the effects of this on all of us, people on the tour, and the game itself. Is it really the right thing for the game of golf, which ultimately is to grow the game and keep people interested and keep people playing like they are now? So let's dive right in. First of all, let's look at the other sports that we've all probably played in our lifetime. I know I did, but I'm sure you have too. Basketball, obviously, the ball has changed. It's better than it was 50, 60 years ago. However, the court hasn't changed. The height of the basket hasn't changed. But they managed to upgrade the ball and still keep the integrity of the sport. Football, same thing. The field size hasn't changed. They might have tweaked a couple of rules here and there, but the football itself has gotten way better than it used to be a long time ago, 50, 60 years ago. Tennis, big upgrade in equipment there. I used to play with wood rackets when I was a kid playing in high school. Now the stuff is, you know, graphite and just way lighter. The strings are better. Everything's better. So that's why the speeds that you can hit shots or the speeds that players can serve now is up so much. I remember when Roscoe Tanner hit 100 miles an hour in a tournament I was watching in the late 70s. That was a big deal. Now, tour players are probably around 140, 150 miles an hour, and women's tours probably around 110, 115. So that's directly related to equipment, conditioning, and just making ourselves better. However, the court hasn't changed. The size of the court hasn't changed. Hockey, the rink hasn't changed, but the sticks are better. Soccer, the ball is better, but the size of the field hasn't changed at all. Baseball, the size of every field is different. But hasn't there been technology over the years with the baseball itself? I don't think you'd have a baseball from 100 years ago being thrown in a game today. I don't think anybody wants to see that. The one thing they did do was when aluminum bats came out, as opposed to wood bats, they outlawed aluminum bats from being played in a pro game because they were obviously way, way better and more effective than wood bats were. So they, you know, as purists, they kept the game the way it is. They've tweaked rules, but the sizes of the fields, for the most part, haven't really changed, and the distance to each base and from the pitcher's mound to home base hasn't changed. So they've managed to keep all their core rules and keep technology growing to make things better. So now let's get to the two sports that we both, or I shouldn't say both, I should say everybody, we all love to do, and they're both lifetime sports, golf and bowling. I'll take bowling first. In bowling, we've had technological advances and the bowling ball, the pins, the lane surfaces, the shoes we wear, pretty much everything that we use in the sport has changed. However, the distance from the foul line to the head pin is still 60 feet. The distance of the approaches are still the same. But the sideboards are better. The pins are still made out of wood, but the coatings around them are better, so they're more lively. And equipment has evolved so much in 60 years, going from a rubber bowling ball that basically was just a hunk of rubber that was molded into something round that we could throw, which worked pretty well on wood lanes back in the days, but didn't hook very much and didn't do very much. So if you watch videos on YouTube of all the greats of Weber and Carter and everyone else, everyone was throwing the ball fairly straight with maybe a couple of boards a hook at the most. So the game was basically based on accuracy and just making good shots and making spares. Scores were a little bit lower, obviously. Then we got into plastic balls later on in the 70s, and that changed a little bit because the ball was a little softer. It hooked a little bit more, and players at all levels were able to do more with them. Then in 1981, I happened to be at the PBA event, the PBA National, that introduced the AMF angle, which was the first urethane ball in Toledo, Ohio. And I remember all of us thinking, what are we going to do with this thing? Because it hooked way more than anything we'd ever seen. It was totally different than anything we'd ever seen. So we adjusted and grew with it. Then that led to what we have now, which is resin urethane and different composites. And I could spend all day talking about what goes inside the bowling ball and how it works. And that's something that I'll discuss, you know, through future podcasts. But it's really changed big time in my lifetime, going from the rubber ball to what we have now. But again, I'm going to stress that the lane distance and everything else, the distance between pins, nothing else has changed really. The basic rules for 10-pin bowling are the same, but the technology's changed. Yes, scores are higher than they used to be. But the reason for that is because of the technology we have with the pins, with the lane machines that are used, and the patterns we can put out. Also, athletes are smarter now. They know how to play things. There's all kinds of teaching aids that you can find, whether it's online or locally. And people are in better shape. Fitness is a big thing. That's why all these athletes and all these sports are so good. Because people are in way better shape than they used to be. So that, I don't think it's taken away from bowling that the scores are higher and it's different. Now you have people throwing two-handed and doing things that we never even thought of 50, 60 years ago. I don't think any of this stuff is bad for the sports. I really don't. I think it's great that the sport has stayed the same, yet made technological advances in what we use to play it with. So I think all of that stuff is good. Now we're going to come to golf. Look at the changes that have happened from the 50s and 60s to now in equipment first. I don't think I could even hit a shot now with the iron set I used in high school. And I thought that was the greatest thing I ever had in the 70s. The stuff I have now is incredible technology. You can hit balls on the face of the club anywhere almost and pretty much get the distance that you wanted, and it's not going to go that far offline. I don't think that any of that has made the game worse over time. It's just part of what humans do to make things better. Look at the difference in the drivers. We've gone from wood drivers with steel shafts to now the drivers, 460cc heads that you can, even amateur players can hit the balls over 300 yards now. You know, the guys that have enough club head speed to do it. So I think all of that stuff's great. But the one thing that's never happened in another sport that I can think of is the governing bodies coming together to actually reduce the distance that the ball that's being used in play travels. I don't understand really why we're doing it. And watching all the videos and all the press conferences that the USGA, the RNA has had since this decision came about, they've even admitted that by rolling back the golf ball, it's not going to put back into play golf courses that they no longer use because they're not, quote, long enough. Distance is a very sexy thing in golf. That's something that everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, that's probably overstating, that most players are trying to achieve. Almost everyone that takes lessons or works out or does things or buys gadgets to make their swing better, more flexibility, etc. All those things are made to try to hit the ball better and probably farther. When you go to get fitted for golf clubs anywhere, all the numbers that are available now are incredible, because I got fitted for the stuff I have 2 years ago and I couldn't believe what I saw. But the one thing most people pay attention to is how far they're hitting it, how far they're hitting each club, how far they're hitting the driver, and if it's farther than the stuff that they already have. We're always trying to make things better and, you know, make ourselves better. So I don't understand why we're trying to reduce the distance that the golf ball will travel. I don't think this is a grow the game thing. I actually think it's, I've heard it said that they'd rather do something than nothing. I actually don't agree with this one. And here's why. There's a lot of golf balls out there that everybody has and that everybody will buy over the next couple of years. So you're telling me that all the money that we're going to spend as consumers on all that stuff is now going to be useless in 2028. On the other side of that, I do know that 65 to 70% of the people I've talked to since this ruling came out have said that they're not going to abide by the new rules. They're just going to use what they want, and they don't care. Most of those people don't play tournaments. They're just playing with their friends. They're out for social aspects of it. They could care less. But for the 30% of people that do care, I think this is a big deal. And I don't think it's fair for somebody that's worked hard, whether it's lessons or fitness, etc., to take distance away from them just because you want to make a change, because now tour players are hitting the ball 350 yards. So what? Let them hit it. The last I knew, it's all about putting, man. If you can't get the ball in the hole, I don't care how far anybody hits it. And there's technology in putters too. But that's the difference in golf as opposed to other sports, is if you took putting out of it and it was just distance and hitting the targets, we'd be talking a different thing here. But as long as putting is in the game and chipping and bunker shots around the green, that's where the scores are made. And yes, it's going to make a difference because you're hitting a shorter club into a green now with the stuff that we're using and the technology that we have. Of course it's going to make a difference, because the odds are better of you getting it closer to the hole, which means it could potentially be an easier putt. But none of that stuff's guaranteed. It's just all statistics that we like to talk about. So I just don't understand why we're doing this right now. Is it just something they want to put in their legacy, the guys running these organizations, or is it something that's really, I don't see how it's going to benefit anybody. I could be way off. I don't know. But I don't see how it's going to benefit people to all of a sudden. I don't want to lose 10 yards. I've already lost enough through age. I don't need to lose it because somebody tells me I can't use the golf ball I want to. I think that's ridiculous. So the USGA is, I've heard Mike Wan say, who is the CEO of the USGA, good guy, did a great job with the LPGA, and I have nothing against either organization because they've done an incredible job with golf worldwide. But they've mentioned that 30% of the balls that are being played now are still going to conform in 2028. However, they haven't told us which ones yet. So maybe that's part of the three-year waiting period. I don't know. I guess we'll see there. The other thing that I thought was interesting about this report and this decision, and this is something I didn't even know because most of us don't even pay attention. There's something called ODS, which is overall distance standards. Now, we all know that the USGA and RNA have tested golf balls for decades with, you know, a machine that'll swing at a certain speed, and they're trying to, you know, base it on an average that somebody might swing, etc. Well, they haven't updated their testing standards since 2004, so they're going to do that now, 20 years later. But they're basing it on now, it's going to go from 120 miles an hour to 125 miles an hour, and the ball speed's going to go from 176 miles an hour ball speed to 183. There's nobody that I play with, even some of the pros that I play with, don't swing it that fast and don't have their ball speed that fast. So that's really only a tour player thing, which doesn't have any bearing on what all of us do that are playing the game because we love it, because we enjoy it. We want to be able to go to our favorite courses and use the ball that we love to use. We don't want somebody telling us we have to use this thing that goes less. That is just the craziest idea ever. And I really welcome everybody's feedback on this. I really, really do. I want to hear what people think. You can email me at any time at joeambrose@pga.com. And I would love to hear questions, comments, and just see what everybody thinks about this. I know this is a way off. It's 4 years off before it actually happens. But I would like to know what everybody thinks. There's been adjustments to equipment over the years, especially in putting. We had the anchor putter that went away, that you couldn't anchor the putter against your body because it was said to be an advantage. Well, maybe it was, but I also felt that the guys that were good enough to use it, what the heck? You know, if you want to make the change and do that, then why wouldn't you be allowed to do that? So that was just one of the things that I thought is really crazy with this golf ball thing is why are we doing it now, and what happens to all the balls on the market? Like, what are we going to do with them all? We're all sitting on balls in our closet and our golf bags that we love, you know, we have, and now we're being told we have to get rid of them. It just doesn't make any sense. So I just wanted to bring this up and see what people thought. And going forward, I'm curious to see how this is going to play out. I know some tour players have criticized the USGA and RNA for making this decision, saying, yeah, there was talk of what they call a bifurcation, which meant they would have had one ball for the professionals to use and one ball, the same thing, you know, same manufacturer, brand, whatever, for all of us to use. I actually thought that would be a better solution than what they're doing now, but they wanted to be consistent and save it for everybody. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, I'm going to keep it short again so you don't get bored. I appreciate you listening. I welcome all comments. Again, joeambrose@pga.com. This is my podcast, Putting and the Gutter. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye.